It seems like yesterday, though, that we worked together. We had a great time. I think we were able to bring some common sense, I think, to the law over the years.
Well, we did. We were on together for a long time, and now here we are back again, and we're older and wiser. And you look the same, but how come? Is this one of those Dorian Gray deals where, you know, I'm aging and you're not? Because I'm all gray.
As you age, I get younger.
Yeah. No, what kind of a deal is that?
Not true at all.
Well, it is great to be back on the air with you, Bob. And we hope to have a productive run together, give people a chance to call in with their legal questions. Yep. And I think that now more than ever, it's probably appropriate for us to be here because, you know, with the economic hard times that we've encountered, lawyers are expensive. I wouldn't want to have to hire a lawyer.
I sat down the other day and figured out that I couldn't afford myself.
Yeah.
It kind of scared me. And I thought, wow, I can't afford me.
Well, hopefully we can point people in the right direction, answer some of their questions, tell them whether they need a lawyer or not, and possibly save them some money along the way.
Yeah, we'll talk a bit today about what the show is all about, because it's all about you, all about listeners, all about your legal questions. For many years, we answered general legal questions. Nobody in their right mind attempts to do that. Attorneys would always, I was in an elevator one time and I was going, not that matter's going down, not that significant or not. But anyway, all of a sudden this other person in the room said, in the elevator said, so what is it? You have a big book or something with you there? You can look up the law. And I did, it's like a voice out of the elevator. And I realized that there was a lawyer in the elevator. And he was scared to death of the idea of answering general legal questions.
Wow.
And, you know, we get questions all the time in our practices. We are actually practicing attorneys.
Full-time practicing attorneys.
That's
still,
how we
even
make
at
our
advanced age.
Thank God that's how we make our living. It isn't on the radio.
Well, that's one of the reasons I've enjoyed working with you over the years, Bob, is because I simply don't know a lawyer that, A, is more empathetic than you are and also has a greater command of the breadth of the law. Now, as you know, for many years, my practice was a third criminal defense, a third family law, and a third personal injury.
Right.
So I'm comfortable taking those questions. But, you know, most of the rest I'm going to deflect to you. And although I am strictly criminal law at this stage of my career, I still keep my finger in those other areas. But people can call in, you know, about any area of the law. Yep. And if it's something we don't know, we'll tell them that. But we can at least point them in the right direction.
Now, let's give them the phone number. You can call 1-866-485-1590 and actually ask your general legal question. Anything goes. That's kind of scary. Anything goes. And we'll talk about it. And, you know, part of it is, Ted, we're going to show people how a lawyer thinks about the question. Number one, you get to listen to a person calling in and talking to a lawyer with their question, and you get to say, whoa, I'm sure glad I'm not in their shoes. For one, we're all going to learn together, but we're going to talk about the process a lawyer goes through to try to figure out an answer, because believe it or not, we don't have all the answers, but we know how to figure out the answers, right?
Right. But let's give them the disclaimer at the top of the show, Bob, so when they call in, they know exactly what they're getting and what they're not.
Absolutely. Damages resulting from advice given on this program are strictly limited to what you paid for the advice. Wouldn't you know it? Leave it to the lawyers to come up with this stuff, and we do. And we do it all the time. But we're going to – now, let's talk a little bit. Ted, you are in an area – now, I'm in an area – everybody's going to die. I do primarily estate planning in my real life. So I picked that everybody is going to die. I know it's a surprise. Nobody wants to think about it. But we're all going to die at some point. So I'm in that area. But I was thinking the other day, you're in the area and you do an awful lot of DUI work. You know, we used to call it DWI. Mm-hmm. But almost everybody's going to get tagged with a DUI.
Well, a significant part of the population will at one time or another, Bob. Unfortunately, it's very easy to pick up a DUI these days.
I think so, too.
You know, over the years, the legal limit has gone from a 1.5 to a 1.0, and now it's in an 0.8 in virtually every state. There were a few states that didn't want it to go down to that level, but then the federal government got involved and said, well, that's a condition of you getting, you know, federal dollars for your highways. And so sort of muscled the states into making that the legal limit. But, you know, the interesting thing about it, too, is that regardless of your gender, your age, your weight, the same standards apply to everyone. And so that's where it becomes a little on the subjective side rather than the objective side. The other thing about DUI law, Bob, is it's a unique area in the area of criminal, in the arena of criminal law. And here's why. Oftentimes, in most cases, criminal cases, it boils down to one of two things. Do we have the right person? And was a crime actually committed?
Right.
In the area of DUI, there's, you know, never a doubt, or 99% of the time, that we have the right person, because driving down the street, a trooper or an officer sees you weaving or speeding or burned out taillight, whatever, pulls you over, you're sitting behind the wheel. So we've got the right person.
Right.
The second thing is, you know, the definition of the crime, which is if you're operating a motor vehicle after having consumed alcohol or drugs, and by the way, Bob, they can be prescription drugs as well.
That's
when we changed it from DWI to DUI.
Right.
To encompass everything.
Under the influence.
Under the influence.
Right.
To the point that their driving is impaired to an appreciable degree, or that they're above a 0.08 on a legally admissible breath test. So it's a two-prong law. It can be BAC, that's the 0.08, or the impairment. But here's the deal. This is why the DUI law is so unique and so different. It's not about the identity of the defendant. It's not about whether the crime has been committed. It's the condition of the defendant that creates
right.
the crime.
That's true, isn't
it? And no other area of the law is like that.
Yeah.
And it should be an objective standard, but the reality of it is it's somewhat of a subjective standard.
Well, sure.
And that's why it's so easy to get a DUI in this day and age. And over the weeks, we'll talk about, you know, what you can do, what
right.
you can not do, and how you can best protect yourself, when you should be driving and when you shouldn't be driving.
Well, and one of the things we want to talk about, and we may get to it in this hour today, is what should you do and not do if you get stopped? And we won't do that right this moment, but we will talk about that later this hour.
Absolutely. You know, the other thing we should talk about at some point is making sure that our listeners understand how lawyers charge.
Yes.
You know, what you can expect to pay. And what a lot of people don't know is there are really three basic ways that lawyers charge their fees. And one is a contingent fee. And that's like in personal injury cases or maybe in a collection case where I'm your lawyer, you're my client, Bob, and I get a percentage of what I collect
right.
for you, either in a personal injury case, an accident, malpractice, medical malpractice, something like that. But obviously that doesn't work in other areas of the law where you're not actually collecting something and sharing it. And where, in fact, we cannot do that by the Bar Association rules in criminal law. You can't say, well, if I get you off, you pay me this, and if I don't get you off, you pay me that. The second way is hourly. And that's when we see a lot of business law yeah. is practiced that way, and divorce law, because every divorce is unique. And, you know, some divorces take 5 hours and some take 50 yeah, hours.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, different lawyers charge different hourly rates, you know,
that's
200,
right.
250, 500 an hour, depending upon their experience,
right.
the uniqueness of their practice, the market they're in. Costs a little more to hire a lawyer in Bellevue than it says in,
right.
in Ellensburg.
Well, and the type of work. I mean, when I'm doing work that deals with generation-skipping transfer taxes, it tends to be a little bit more expensive than just doing maybe a simple will.
Yeah.
Very true.
And then the third way, of course, is flat fee,
right.
where the cases are so similar from day to day to day that a lawyer knows to within 10 or 15 minutes how much time it's going to take.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's, for instance, simple wills. A lot of estate planning attorneys will say, you know, if you're doing a will maybe that has, you know, husband and wife, everything goes to each other, you got two kids, they're both adults, blah, 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 you know, you probably can get a lawyer to actually say that will cost X dollars to produce those documents. And I think a lot of what I do is on a flat fee basis once I know what it is we're going to try to do.
Well, you know, one thing I'm really interested in, Bob, and, you know, I don't know anything about wills and trusts. I mean, the last time I looked at a will and a trust is when I slept through it during law school. But we see these things all the time where you can buy these kits.
Yeah.
Or I see them advertised on radio or television. Be your own lawyer
yep.
and, you know, draft your own will and that type of thing. So I'd be interested in what your thoughts are about these kits. And what if they're prepared in California?
Yeah.
Are they viable and legal in Washington?
We will talk about that. In fact, we've got time today. We'll touch on some of those points and others on today's program. Again, you can give us a call with your general legal question. Give us a call at 1-866-485-1590. It's a chance to actually talk to a lawyer, and it won't cost you anything other than the phone call. I don't know if anybody pays anymore for phone calls. I don't think we do we?
No, it's free.
I'm pretty sure.
That's right.
And the advice, again, is worth every penny you paid for.
That's right. It's free, so it must be good.
That's absolutely right. You know, it's got to be good. You know, there are lots of good resources. We're going to talk about legal resources. There are things you can do to help yourself, even when you're going to go in and see a lawyer, to prepare for the discussion you're going to have with a lawyer on whatever it might be. It could be landlord, tenant. It could be buying a house. It could be you're in a foreclosure. Whatever it is that's going on with you, we're going to talk about all that and more. Right here on Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr.
It's toll-free from anywhere. 1-866-485-1590. We'll have more Legal Line with Bob Pittman after this.
You've walked this path many times before. It's a chance to think, especially about your future. How will you turn your retirement dreams into reality? Will you have enough gold for your golden years? Your choices for building funds for retirement can be complicated. Fortunately, you have a friend in the community who can help you make the right decisions. That's your Modern Woodmen agent. Your agent is a skilled professional who will listen to your needs and desires and then work with you to create a plan that uses the right financial products to achieve your retirement goals. Build a lasting professional relationship with a trusted financial advisor.
Hi, I'm Randy Verberg, Western Washington's Regional Director for Modern Woodmen in Puyallup, Washington. Call me today at 253-770-6019.
Get in touch with your agent today. Modern Woodmen of America, touching lives, securing futures.
40 kilometers northwest of Kandahar, Afghanistan, at a remote desert military base, American soldiers are playing video games. There are cold drinks, coffee, snacks, and comfy chairs. There's an internet connection, a putting green, frisbees, and footballs. There are DVDs, books, games, and guitars. There are toothbrushes, shaving cream, body wipes, and shampoo. This is today's USO. It's the USO to Go program, with all of the above and more, selected and ordered directly by the troops themselves, packaged and shipped anywhere in the world. Today, it's just one of the ways the USO supports our troops, lifts their spirits, and serves as the link between them and the American people. People just like you. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
We now return to Legal Line with Bob Pittman on Freedom 1590.
Here we are on a beautiful Saturday afternoon, Saturday morning still, isn't it, Ted? It's not Saturday afternoon, it's Saturday morning, and we're talking about the law, or as Inspector Clouseau would say, we're talking about the law, the law. Remember Inspector Clouseau?
Oh, yeah, Pink Panther, all that stuff.
And you know what I want to do is say thanks to Modern Woodmen, great group, Modern Woodmen and Randy Verberg and his crew. Are kind enough to sponsor our edition of Legal Line, and I think it's just great. It's a good group. You need to find out more about them. They do a lot of stuff in the community. They are very community-oriented. It's a fraternal organization, and they just do a great job. I've known them for a number of years, the group.
Well, speaking of that, Bob, aren't they down at the PLU football game today?
Oh, you're right. Down at Pacific Lutheran University's football games, I think they actually have a booth at all of the home games for PLU. And so if anybody has interest in stopping down and saying hi to the Modern Woodmen crew, I don't think you have to actually bring your own wood, do you? I don't.
No, but they should say, and we really like Bob and Ted. We
really
like Bob
and
Ted. We just don't know how we've done without them for the last couple of years. Hey, I want to give the number again for any of you that have burning legal questions. We're going to be here till the top of the hour today, and you can give us a call, 1-866-485-1590. That's 485-1590.
And you know, Ted, there has been a kind of a vacant sign hanging up in the greater Seattle area for several years about legal advice on the radio, because when we went dark a while back, after many, many years, There has been no place to call in with a general legal question that I'm aware of, and actually talk to two practicing Washington State lawyers who, yes, we have a good time and we kid around a little bit, but we're very serious about the law.
I think there's a national radio show that does it, but, you know, it's a very generic answers because they're phoning in from all over the country. And, you know, this is the interesting thing, too, about medicine versus law, medical practice versus law practice. You know, whether you're practicing medicine in Washington, California, Florida, the heart is in the same place, pancreas is in the same place, you know, all that. The flu is the flu. But in law, the laws vary so much from state to state that, for example, if somebody calls in and says, hey, my brother got a DUI down in San Francisco and I want to know, I don't know.
Yeah.
The laws are so different from state to state.
It's really true.
That it's important that when you seek legal advice, whether in person or over the radio, the way we're doing it, you make sure that person is licensed in the state in which you're seeking the advice.
That's right. Let's talk about a couple of rules I'll call them rules. If you're gonna go see a lawyer, because most people go through their life without really interacting that much with lawyers. Yes, if you get a DUI, you better be interacting with a lawyer. Death, of course, brings you to my doorstep, I guess. but if you're going to go interact with a lawyer, what should you be thinking about? And one of the things I always like to say, it's sort of tongue-in-cheek, but I mean it, is you don't go to a lawyer, throw yourself on the floor, and say, take me, I'm yours.
Right.
I mean, that sounds silly, but I mean, we really need to be intelligent, I think, about finding an attorney. There are a number of ways to do it, to try to find out, like, you know, how would I go about finding out about a Ted Barr?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to take a step back. And, you know, you and I started on the air together about, what, 11, 14 years ago, something like that. Things have changed.
Yeah.
Number one, there is a much higher likelihood that you are going to be involved with the law and need a lawyer at some point in your career.
Yeah, we're criminalizing everything.
Well, but let's look beyond that. 2 out of 3 marriages end in divorce.
That's true.
And then we've got more complicated estate planning and estate taxes. That
real estate. Real estate.
You know, until the recent economic turndown, we had an increasingly affluent economy and or segment of the population. So more people were buying their own homes, buying investment properties, things like that. Seattle is a much larger market now. There's more people moving into the area all the time.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Greater opportunity for conflict, whether it's a car accident, a disagreement over a property line.
Yep.
So the reality of it is, in the old days, everybody came into contact with doctors. Usually only more affluent people or criminal types came into contact with lawyers. Now everybody does.
Yeah.
So you're right.
That's
you need to kind of know what to do. And in terms of locating it, well, that's the other thing that's changed. It used to be, well, you looked in the Yellow Pages.
Yeah.
But let's face it, the Yellow Pages are a dinosaur, and things are changing, and there's so much opportunity.
I went to look for my phone book the other day, and I realized I didn't have one.
I couldn't find myself in it, and I was wondering if I was still alive.
I actually was left out, last one,
really?
and I didn't know it until 6 months later somebody told me, oh, by the way, Bob, we noticed you're not in the phone book anymore.
You're probably still paying for the ad, though, Bob.
Well, I don't know. I'm in the auto-pay program.
But, you know, you can look in the Yellow Pages.
Yeah.
You can also go online.
Yeah.
Most of the full-time practicing attorneys have websites.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
And
there are rating services that are out there, too. For lawyers now, which is different than before.
There's a service out that we don't pay for. They just provide it, and it's based on your length of experience, number of cases, comments from your clients and your peers, and then it's called AVVO, A-V-V-O.
Yeah.
And people can look up information on that.
In fact, they've expanded recently, not to give them a plug here, but they've expanded recently to add doctors, the medical community.
Oh, is that right?
If you haven't looked at that. And by the way, you have a very nice AVO presence.
Did you like that actor I hired to put the picture in there?
that was good.
God, that guy's good looking.
but AVO is a way. That's a good point. You go to, for anybody, you can go look up any lawyer, I think now anywhere in the United States, but certainly here in Washington. And you can look up a practice area. You can look up an attorney. You can look up Ted Barr, Bob Pittman, and there's information in there about us.
Well, you know, that's another thing is that the other thing is just to talk to your friends. That's the best referral source always. But, you know, that's tricky too.
It is.
So, for example, let me just lay this out there. In your area of practice, estate planning, I would not be reluctant to go into my office on a Monday morning and say, hey, does anybody know a good estate planner? I need to get a will made up.
Right.
But nobody walks into their office on Monday morning, stands up on a chair and says, hey, anybody know where I can get a good criminal lawyer?
Yeah.
Anybody know a good DUI lawyer?
Yeah.
Come on. Nobody's going to do that. That's like the difference between going to your office on a Monday morning, Bob, and saying, you know, I hurt my back this weekend. Does anybody know a good chiropractor?
That's right.
Versus going in and saying, anybody know where I can get an HIV test?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
that's
just
really
a
true.
Certain
and,
stigma.
You know, on the, let's say there is a, you've been charged with a crime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you feel, you're just going to feel terrible, I assume, unless you're like in this all the time.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, I guess I did, didn't I? But, you know, I mean, assuming it's a person maybe who is picked up on a first time DUI, probably scared to death and doesn't know who to call or where to go. They just want to die.
Well, and some people are comfortable asking their friends.
Yeah.
And other people are so embarrassed, so ashamed,
sure.
so chagrined that they would never ask their friends. So that's exactly right. But they are scared. It's a system that operates like none other.
Yeah.
And the other thing is there's no telltale signs. Like, for example, if you go to your office and the person in the cubicle next to you no longer has their wife or their husband's picture on their desk.
Yep.
They're not wearing their wedding ring, something like that. You know something's up. Okay. But there's no telltale signs that that person, one of these, your friends or workmates has just been charged with a crime.
Right.
And so they're reluctant. But one other thing I want to mention is you can always call the King County Bar Association, too. They have a referral service.
They have a great referral service.
Yeah.
And you can go to their website at kcba.org and get right to that referral service, kcba.org.
The other thing is for people who can qualify financially in the criminal arena, whether it's felony or misdemeanor, and a DUI is a misdemeanor, by the way, in the district and municipal courts, you can get a free attorney if you qualify financially, the public defender. And public defenders are excellent lawyers.
You know, I think there's a myth, and we will dispel it over time, but there's a myth out there that says, oh, yeah, you don't want to get a public defender. I mean, in my mind, they are some of the best lawyers out there. They are in the trenches daily. They are working night and day. The hours they put in are incredible in my mind. And they're very, very good for the most part, don't you think?
I think they're very good. Now, some of them are young lawyers just out of law
sure.
school that are looking for experience so that they can get on with a firm like mine
sure.
or, you know, get out in private practice. Others are dedicated public servants that will spend their entire life in the public defender's office.
Yeah.
But they get a lot of experience in a hurry because they're in court all day, every day. They
right.
know the prosecutors. They know the judges. They know what the peculiarities of that particular courtroom are.
That's right.
The biggest difference between a public defender and a private attorney like myself is, frankly, caseload. You know, I'm one of the busier DUI lawyers in town, and I carry maybe 50 cases at a time,
uh-huh.
turn them over a couple times a year.
Sure.
Lots of public defenders will carry 500 cases at a time.
Wow.
So, I mean, just the amount of personal attention.
That's incredible.
You know, you're not going to get a call the night before in under most cases. Circumstances reminding you have your court day the next
right.
day.
You need to be there.
You've got to be involved in the process.
Sure.
In other words, you're not going to get a little mint on your pillow. But that doesn't mean that they aren't very, very capable and very caring people. But you can't just get a public defender because you want
no.
one. Again, you have to qualify financially. And more people in this economy are in that situation.
Well, that's true. And, of course, the stress and strain on the budgets are just hard to imagine. Not only the prosecutor's office, but the public defender's office is being asked to do more and pick up more pieces, if you will, and yet there's no money there.
Yeah.
I don't know, and I don't know how the pay differs between the prosecutors and the public defenders. I would imagine there's some similarity. And maybe less for public defender, I'm guessing.
Having never been either, but yeah. I have a number of friends that are prosecutors, both yeah. in the county and in the Seattle City Attorney's Office, and in many people that are friends of mine in the public defenders. I think the prosecutors are a little better paid.
Right.
But
that's my impression.
The
too.
Public defenders work awfully hard for their clients and are very dedicated, and it just makes me boil when I hear.
Yeah.
Somebody call me and say, well, you know, I talked to the public
yeah.
pretender.
Right.
That doesn't work for me.
No, absolutely.
You know, or if they say, well, I want to talk to a real lawyer. Well, they are a real lawyer, and they're lucky to have them.
That's right. And we'll talk about all kinds of stuff in the coming weeks, you know, plea bargains and all kinds of things. And the criminal area is very fascinating to most people, even if they haven't been charged with a crime. We're going to continue with more right here on Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr.
More of Legal Line with Bob Pittman coming up.
Whoa, nice shot. They teach you that move in college?
No, Dad. You taught me that move.
Speaking of moves, any thoughts on your future after college?
I want to do something that makes an impact, you know? I can make a difference. You taught me that, too.
Maybe I'm the smart one.
Ever wonder if you're making a difference? At Modern Woodmen of America, we care about the same things you do. For over 125 years, we've offered financial products and member benefits that can enrich people's lives. Modern Woodmen is a fraternal financial organization, which means we give our members a sense of belonging. We believe in working together for a better community and a better future. Isn't it time you belong to something that can make an impact?
Hi, I'm Randy Verberg, Western Washington's Regional Director for Modern Woodmen in Puyallup, Washington. Call me today at 253-770-6019.
Modern Woodmen of America.
Modern Woodmen, touching lives, securing futures.
Legal Line with Bob Pittman resumes on Freedom 1590. Here's Bob.
And here's Ted. Bob and Ted, now I have to tell you, as I was thinking about coming in to do this, and I told Ted, I said, we got to have some little segments. One of them will be called It's the Law with Bob and Ted. We'll find some fun features we're going to do. But the other one, I'm just going to be looking for something where we can do Bob and Ted's excellent legal adventure sometime. And maybe it'll be going to the Supreme Court. What do you think they'd do with us down there if Bob and Ted showed up?
They'd probably put you to work and lock me up.
Huh.
Yeah. Hey, we used to
appeal that, though.
We used to have a lot of fun, too, when we did some remotes in the old days, like when we used to do the Fight Hunger Day and the car show.
Yeah, a lot of people wanted to send you on remote a lot. Show.
Yeah, and those actors we hired to stand in for us, they did a good job. No, but we'll probably do some remotes. Hey, I want to give our phone number again to those of you who just tuned in. Give us a call if you want some free legal advice over the phone. It's worth exactly, or over the radio, I should say. It's worth exactly what we're charging you for it. But we'd be glad to hear from you. And our number this week, next week, and in the foreseeable future is 1-866-485-1590.
At least for the next 20 minutes, you know. You know, in all seriousness, though, we try. It's a very simple show, I think, conceptually. We try to demystify the law, translate the legalese, and point you in the right direction with regard to your legal problems. Very important in my mind. We all have legal problems that come up, whether it's neighbor issues, whatever it might be. Maybe it's serious, maybe it's minor, but it seems serious, even the minor ones, when you're in the middle of it.
It's stressful. And we do want you to call in, because if you don't, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have to ask our mothers to start calling us, and we don't want to do that.
Well, my mother passed away, so I'd be – although, you know, we did try. I had a, you know, I do estate planning. I did have a client one time ask me – this is way back and it was very serious. He says, Bob, he says, you have this great conference room. He says, do you suppose we could actually try a seance? And so we did. And I'm pretty sure we connected up with his mother. I'm not, I mean, I can't swear to it. But I know, and she said, pay Bob his fee.
He's worth it.
He's worth it.
Hey, let's circle back and talk for just a minute, Bob, about preparing for your initial meeting with your lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, that's very important because especially some of the consultations initially are free with the attorney. Some aren't.
So make the use, you know, make good use of the time.
Right.
Or if you've used the referral service, you're paying, what is it now, $35, $40 somewhere in that neighborhood for a half-hour consultation.
Right.
Don't go in and talk about the Mariner game.
Right, right.
Or the PLU football game.
That's right.
You know?
But here's the deal. When you go to your doctor in this day and age, you go in prepared. You have your family history.
Yep.
You know, you're ready to tell the doctor, well, you know, I've had this and this, and I've had this inoculation and vaccination, and here are the prescriptions that I'm taking. I always take them in a little plastic bag so they can see exactly what you've got going. So you help them help you. When you go to meet with your lawyer, here's the deal. You kind of want to have written down the chronology of events and the significant
actually
things.
Write it down. This is important. Right. Don't you might say to yourself, "Oh, I remember exactly what it is." Write it down.
Right, and especially chronologically, the dates as much as you can reconstruct them. Take in critical documents. This is the letter I got from this guy, this lawyer who's demanding this, or this is the letter I got from the insurance company.
Maybe it's a landlord tenant. Take your lease in. Take any notices you've got from the landlord.
Right.
Or the tenant if you're the landlord.
write up a list of questions that you're going to want to ask in advance.
Now, there's one I really think is critical, is write those questions down, because if you don't, I can almost guarantee you, you will forget to ask at least one of those questions, and you'll think later, oh, shoot, why didn't I ask Ted this or Bob this?
Right.
Yeah.
So go in with those things in mind. I also think it's a good idea to take your partner, your wife, your husband, your best friend, whoever, in with you. Just like when you go for a critical consultation with a doctor, that second set of ears, sometimes they'll hear something
yep.
that you won't. And that's how you help to prepare for yep. that meeting with the lawyer so that they can do a better job for you.
Now, let's talk for a second. One of my favorite publishers of all time is Nolo Press. That's N-O-L-O. If you haven't run across them, you need to. And here's what I like about Nolo. Not that you're going to do it yourself, because I think that some things you can, but a lot of times you can really, really toast yourself legally if you try to do it all yourself. But you can learn about an area of the law. Let's say one of my favorites is Neighbor Law. They've got this great book. In fact, we'll have to get Cora Jordan on the author of Neighbor Law to talk about neighbor law. In fact, there's another person who's working with her now. We'll get her on and talk about neighbor law. Everybody has a neighbor issue. So get the book, take a look at it, understand what is going on, understand a little bit about what a lawyer's going to be thinking about, what the important parts are, maybe reasonable expectations. Now, Cora is not a Washington lawyer, so we have to add that element. That's what Bob and Ted do, is add in I know you have lots of experience, I've been told, lots of experience with neighbors. I don't know if that's just calls I've gotten over the past years from your neighbors. But anyway, we'll talk about that on another program.
If you want to start getting down in the dirt on this thing, Pittman, we can do that anytime. Remember, we've known each other a long time,
All right. So, no, but you might read up on the topic a little bit. Just get some information. Now, you have to be careful where you get the information, because there's a lot of junk on the Internet.
Right. The other thing is, if you go into a bookstore, you know, almost all of them have legal departments, so to speak,
yep.
and you go over there and you start looking at all these books, you know, and again, it's not like cooking or something like that where, you know, if it's pot roast in Kentucky, it's pot roast in California.
Yep.
So when you start narrowing down on which of these books do I want to buy, start to look at the credentials of the author. And if it says they're a Washington lawyer practicing here, or a Washington judge, or retired judge from Washington, I'm not saying that should be the deal breaker for you, but that should certainly push you in the direction
right.
of that, because they're going to be talking about what you need to know in Washington.
You know, one of the things we'll do, and I've got at my website, bobpittman.com, I do have a reading list. We're going to set up a website for the program, though, and you and I can sit down and go over a beginnings of a reading list, and we will post that at our website. Just so that people can get an idea, like Neighbor Law will be up there as one of the books and stuff. And people will be able to get a little bit of an idea where to look and what books they might be able to start with to get going on their legal issue.
Yeah, and we'll get that set up in the near future. You know, we circle back and put this thing together kind of quickly, getting it on the air.
Now, what is your website?
www.tedcbar.com.
So Ted C. Barr with two R's.
Yes, B1D, 2Rs, TedCBar.com. Okay. But our good friend Greg McDonald, who is a website designer and maintains that optimization, he's going to be working with us. He does great work. We're going to have a nice website, some interactive abilities, and set up a Twitter account, too, that Greg's going to do for us so that people can...
So we can twit.
Twit.
Oh, no, we can tweet.
Their questions.
Or people can tweet to the twits.
Right. In some cases, we'll know them before we go on the air.
That's true.
You know, and then we can address them.
No, that'll be fun. We've got so many fun things we can do. That's a good point. In the meantime, you can stop by Ted's website, check it out. It's a good website. You've done a nice job on it.
Thanks.
So TedCBar.com or Bob Pittman with two T's .com. Stop by and check them out, and then we'll identify the radio website down the road where we're going to keep some fun information about the law.
And, you know, most of the time we're able to answer the questions. We've been both doing this a long time.
We won't say how long.
No, God. But a long time together. But there will be the occasional unusual or very technical question that you might have that Bob and I will have to say, hey, we're going to do a little research this week and we'll get back to you next Saturday.
Do you think that'll happen?
Well, in that case,
we won't just know the law.
You'll be doing the research, Bob, and as usual, I'll be giving the brilliant answer based on what you've told me to say. So, well, let's talk about some other general things that are out there these days. You know, gosh, you know, there's estate planning, there's the criminal aspect of the law, and just tickets, you know.
Yep.
It is so easy to get an infraction these days, and they've become a real revenue source for the state and the city. There are so many infractions on the books.
I am so nervous when I go through these red light camera spots. I feel there's one in, I think it's in Lakewood, their main one, and I just, it's a huge intersection, and I feel myself actually tense up as I'm approaching it. And I'm sort of marveling at it and saying, Bob, it's just, I mean, just watch the light. You're okay. Yeah. And yet I'm tensing up.
You know, the thing that's interesting about these red light cameras, Bob, is the statistics, and I don't have them right in front of me right now, of the, it's an amazing number of people that stop at a red light, get frustrated, waiting too long, and just drive through it.
Whoa.
It's unbelievable.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's not just blowing through it because they were playing with their radio or distracted. They actually get impatient, and then they just drive right through it, and that's one of the things that sort of surprises everybody.
So they're catching them, of course, on the camera.
And, yeah.
you know, the one that I think people are frustrated with, too, is when you're making that right turn, people just kind of slide through, and, of course, you have to stop. And I was talking to a couple folks, and they were indicating that they really want you to do, what, a count of 4 or 5 seconds?
Well, you know how you know when you've stopped, how most officers look at it? If they're sitting there on their motorcycle on the corner, and they're watching a car come to a stop before making a right turn, you know how they know whether you've stopped enough? They're not watching your wheels so much. You know when you stop, and then your car just kind of leans back just a little bit when you make that stop? Stops the momentum. That's how they know that you've made the stop.
Interesting.
But there are so many infractions on the books these days that most officers will tell you that the average person cannot drive more than a mile without committing at least one infraction.
You know, one of the things we're going to talk about on a future show is I really am getting the feeling, it's not just in the traffic area, that we are trying to criminalize everything under the sun. We've gone wacko in making everything a crime. I realize most traffic is not a crime, but it really is troublesome to me. And I think that even on the federal front, I mean, people are violating the law. Oftentimes really without knowing it and not realizing. I mean, there has to be some common sense element. I mean, you know you're not supposed to drive after you've been drinking. That's common sense tells you, I think.
Well, that's not exactly true because it's not illegal to drink and drive.
That's true.
Only illegal to drink. In Sweden it is. They have a zero tolerance there. Yeah. But here it's only illegal to drink and drive if you're affected to an appreciable degree.
Which is good luck, you know, subjective trying to figure that one out.
That's the tricky part. That's
so
right.
We'll talk about the safest route. We'll talk about the safest route before we close out the show, because there is a safe route in terms of not having to see Ted and his colleagues in terms of DUI. We'll talk about what that safe route. There is a safe haven. We'll talk about that as we continue with more Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr.
We're taking your calls at 1-866-485-1590. More of Legal Line with Bob Pittman coming up. Now, back to Legal Line with Bob Pittman here on Freedom 1590.
And we continue with more Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr. Ted and I have known each other for a long time and have worked together over the years, and we're back. We're working together again, and let's go to the calls. Let's head out to talk to Peter next. Hey, Peter, you're on Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr. Welcome.
Hey, thank you.
Glad you're here.
Yeah, I had a question regarding bankruptcy and protecting ownership in an LLC.
Okay. What's going on?
Business went south, started another company, and it's in the startup phase. But I need to be able to protect that because that's my only potential source of income. So we're insolvent.
Okay.
And so we have to look at either successfully settling with our creditors or bankrupting it.
Sure. So you have not filed for bankruptcy at this point?
Negative. We're still trying to settle.
Okay. Then that's really good. One thing you want to be sure to have on your side is a good, and I think Ted would agree, a good bankruptcy attorney as your coach. You know, sometimes we think of lawyers as coaches, and they can be helping, because it's difficult if you do actually go bankrupt. The bankruptcy court is going to want you to lay on the table everything that you own. And you may get to keep some of it, but they want to know everything, and you can't be hiding anything. So the LLC that is being started up, is it just you, or is it you and some other people?
No, it's three people total.
Okay, that's good. Your interest in the LLC would be an asset, not necessarily reachable, but that's something that you really want to strategize out with a bankruptcy attorney as you go through this process. Now, do you have anybody, I mean, and I'm not trying to give you a name, but I mean, do you have someone on your side now who does bankruptcy work?
Well, not really. We've talked to one, but they're real busy and hard to get meetings with.
Then I would go somewhere else. So. What do you think, Ted? If the lawyer is way too busy to even have contact with you, there are enough people out there, I think I'd be moving on to someone else.
Absolutely. The thing about it is you really do need to consult with a bankruptcy lawyer because there are federal exemptions
and
there are
exemptions.
State exemptions, and sometimes it's more advantage to pick one over the other.
Absolutely
I understand that. We've gone through that. But my concern is I really need to protect the LLC because that's my only... You know, I've been a business owner for 10, 15 years, and
not
a lot of jobs out there for business owners. So,
that's right. That's right.
So is it reasonable to assume that I may be able to keep my interest in the LLC? Are they going to attach it?
I don't think it's reasonable to take any position at this point until you really lay out all of the assets and liabilities and have that session, strategy session with a bankruptcy attorney. It may be possible that your interest in that you're able to exempt it through one of the exemptions that are available, but you've just got to get to someone right away. So do that and let us know how it comes out. We appreciate the call very much. Let's head over to Gary next in Bremerton. Gary, you're on Legal Line with Bob Pittman and Ted Barr. Welcome.
Yes, Bob and Ted, very good to talk to you. I'm trying to figure how to couch my question. Is there a movement in general, because you have your fingers on the law, to kind of take binding contracts and make them less common and less valid?
I don't feel that way. Do you, Ted? That in terms of just contract law, and that's a basic, legal...
The basic right to have a pillar of kind of our Constitution, right, for contract.
Now, there are things that chip away, I think, always that chip away at everything in the law. And sometimes, we worry about the chipping away of all of our rights in general.
Right.
But I don't believe there's anything that is specifically out there that's just trying to void our ability to enter into a contract. Do you, Ted?
Well, it seems to me that it would be, if we had less interference of the binding contract, looking at it from the legal perspective, there would be more work for lawyers, let's say. But having said that, from a layman's point of view, I understand that, my opinion, a binding contract, the way it should work, is that any legal activity wanted between two different parties, they can enter into a contract without the state's interference, write it up, and it will be upheld if there's an injured party when it gets to court, and the state would uphold that as a binding contract. Do I have that definition relatively clear?
Well, first of all, when you talk about the state upholding it, it's not the state upholding, it's the court.
The court brings it in
to enforce the contract.
Right.
That's the first thing. The second thing is there are certain contracts that can be oral, and there are certain contracts that must be in writing.
Right.
Right.
And you cannot enter into a contract when it involves something that's flat out illegal either.
Right. I understand that. But then my question is, the coup de grace is, why in the world was the binding contract for our most important decision in life, the only one for a legal activity, banned in this country in the 70s?
Hmm.
And I'm talking about the legal binding contract of marriage. I'm a guy, and I've been through that meat grinder twice and lost much finance. I'm an old guy now, and I have no financial support. I've lost much of it. Now, the women, it seems to favor them without a contract, but the guy has no protection. Why was that allowed to happen through the legal system without at least a grandfather consideration clause? And why has it not been brought up as an option? They're wanting so many options for marriage, even gays now. Why haven't we got the option if two people want a binding contract in the old format? we're not allowed in any state to have it, and why didn't the lawyers help us?
You know what we're going to do is we're running out of time, so let me take you off the air, and let's have Ted as a former family law practitioner. You don't really do family law. But, Ted, I mean, marriage has changed, I guess, over the years, but there is still the contract of marriage, we would call it, I guess. But the ability for two people to marry, I think, continues alive and well in Washington, but we've added in other elements now with the Domestic Partner Act and
well,
so forth.
Civil unions, prenuptial agreements are more common now than ever before, that type of thing.
That's
which
true.
Everybody should look at, and especially as people are on their second or third marriage or they're getting married later in life where they have assets.
Right.
You bet. And we'll take that. Bob will take that rest of your question off the air, though.
Yeah, but I think that's important. And I think, you know, one of the things we'll have to do is, you know, the new Domestic Partner Act has is on the books, and things like community property agreements now are available to people who are registered domestic partners, which is very different, I know, for a lot of people in terms of their thought pattern. But all the things, a lot of the things that we've recognized traditionally as a man and woman in a marriage are now fully available in Washington State and in some other states, too, to parties who are together in a domestic registered domestic partnership.
Right. When are you? Is he still on the line?
No.
No. Yeah, because, you know, one of the things is some people, when they get married young, they don't own anything.
That's true.
So they don't have to worry about it. But as I said, you get married later.
Yep.
You can kind of take these, and especially if you've been through it once.
Now, in coming weeks, Bob and Ted are going to be taking you on this grand, excellent legal adventure. This is what the whole thing is, I think. But Legal Line is back. Bob Pittman is my name. Ted Barr is with me. We're both going to be taking you on this grand journey through the law, or the law, as Inspector Clouseau would say. But we're going to have a lot of fun. It's a serious topic, but we don't mind poking fun at ourselves and at our colleagues a little bit in a respectful way, and ourselves. Ted is available through tedcbar.com, two R's, and you can check, find me at bobpittman.com, two T's.
And next week we're going to lead off with, how do you know if you need a will? And what should you do if you've had a drink before you get in your car?
That's right. What do you really need to know if you're going to be getting in that car? And Ted's going to help us with that. We'll both talk about that next week right here on Legal Line. Until then, stay in control of your legal affairs, I mean, at least until next Saturday.
Visit Bob's website, bobpittman.com. That's Bob Pittman with two T's, .com. If you'd like to contact Bob, his email is bob@bobpittman.com. The opinions expressed on the preceding program were not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station. Join us again next Saturday morning at 10 for more Legal Line with Bob Pittman, sponsored by Modern Woodmen of America, here on Freedom 1590.